Godzilla.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a Wednesday, the final Wednesday of the football season at CBS Scene, Patriot Place in Foxborough. Welcome to Zolak and Bertrand. We've got a busy day today. Bert Breer typically joins us on Wednesdays, but he's in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. So he's not with us here at CBS Scene today, but he will check in on the phones. So we will get Bert Breer on the phone for a segment. But that is not the only phone call we will have today, because we will also talk with Celtics head coach Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50 after a rough one against the Lakers last night. So lunchtime hour today, we'll be talking to not only Brad Stevens, we'll talk to Bert Breer earlier in the show, but we're also going to get our Super Bowl ticket expert coming up at 12:20 today, Tony Knopp, who joined us last year and gave some really good advice on how to obtain Super Bowl tickets and just kind of let us know what's going on with people who are trying to go to the game. So that's coming up all in the lunchtime hour. Tony Knopp and also Brad Stevens. We will hear from Bert Breer in the 11 o'clock hour, talk some football with him. Zoe is on his way over here to CBS Scene at the moment, and so we are going to go to Bill Belichick at the podium moments ago at Gillette Stadium.
How's it going here? Good to be working this week. Guess you'd be working anyway. Well, feels good for us to be working. So, you know, just real quick on the Eagles. Obviously, really good football team. Ton of respect for what they do, how they do it. Coach Peterson on offense, Coach Schwartz. I mean, they really have played well all year. Have dealt with some things that really haven't gone their way injury-wise, and had to make some adjustments. They've done a great job of that. They have a lot of explosive players. They can score on defense. They score a lot on offense. They're good in the kicking game, so they're really pretty good at everything, which is what you'd expect. That's why they're in this game. So we have a lot of work to do. Obviously, this is a team we all know very well at all. So we'll get the players in today and start grinding. But glad we have a little bit of extra time on this game. I think we'll need it. They do a lot of things well and create a lot of problems. Created them for everybody. So that's kind of where we're at.
Bill, in the Super Bowls in the past, you guys haven't scored in the first quarter.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah.
Sorry to remind you.
Yeah.
But how?
Yeah, all the negative stuff from the Super Bowls we need to be aware of too.
How much do you look at that history and this week and say, yeah, you know, do
like
something?
We try to score in every game. I know that's probably hard to understand, but like, we try to go out and score and keep the other team from scoring. That's our goal every game.
Would you put in any extra time or change anything just to highlight that to the team and the importance of that this week?
I mean, what's important is what happens this week against the Eagles. So we're going to try to score. We're going to try to keep them from scoring.
Bill, just wondering about the Eagles front four and what makes them such a unique group, and is it the depth of that group that?
Yeah, it's a lot more than four. I wish it was just four. Yeah, it's about eight, nine. Yeah, again, it's a very disruptive group. Hard to run against, hard to throw against. Again, they're well coached, very instinctive. you know, screens and plays like that that you think will be will take the edge off the pass rush. Don't look as good as you think that when you run them, they don't look as good as what you think they're going to look like. Draw screens, things like that. Play action. A lot of times they still, you know, they blow those plays up too. So they do a good job. They've got a lot of good players. They have good inside rushers. They have good outside rushers. I mean, Cox is, you know, as good as anybody in the league at his position. He's a very disruptive player. Great, hard to block, run, pass, no matter what it is. Good edge rush, and they come hard every play. These guys really play hard. There's no plays off, so you're going to have to block them on every play, and you can't get away from them. There's nowhere to go. So you're going to have to deal with that front down after down, and they wear you down. It's a great group, and that's, you know, a huge strength for their defense.
Bill, there's been a lot of talk about Danny Amendola the last couple of weeks, especially with his strong performances in the playoffs. I was curious what you remember, if anything, from when he was coming into the league, 2008 out of Texas Tech, undrafted, and sort of took him a couple of years to find his place. And does anything stand out to you from when you guys were tracking him? Because I know you track every player, as to what you remember about him at that time.
Yeah, well, we missed on two guys there. So, really, what the light went on with Josh. Josh was here. Josh, you know, had him in St. Louis, and you saw a good player in St. Louis, but you didn't see all the things behind the scenes that you kind of can see when you actually have the player in your team. Josh saw that, and he made us aware of what all the things that Danny does and how well he does, and the skills were and so forth. So that's kind of when it started. And of course, once we got him here, then all that became evident to everybody who works with him.
Can you give us an update on Rob Gronkowski? Has he finished his concussion protocol? Do you expect him to play?
Yeah, we'll be compliant with the NFL injury report, and when that's required, we'll put it on.
When is that process completed, finished?
When's what process finished?
The concussion report,
whatever his situation is, whatever his status is, that we'll put it on the injury report. We'll make sure you're the first one to get it.
I'm sure you will. Do you expect him to play?
Not a problem.
Do you expect him to play?
We'll put it right on the injury report, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Just like everybody else does. We'll make sure you're first on the list, too, Stacey.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I don't want to hold anything back here. Get that out there right away.
I know you don't.
All we can do.
Coach, Carson Wentz over here to your right. Carson Wentz obviously isn't playing, but he played a lot of games for them this year. Foles is the guy. Do you emphasize the Foles tape? Do you go back and watch all the tape to study the offense? How does that breakdown work?
Yeah, well, both. The offense is the offense. So the components, I think certainly in Philadelphia's case, they didn't change the offense when they changed quarterbacks, which you wouldn't expect them to. But Foles is Foles and Wentz is Wentz, so you want to make sure that you are ready for the guy that's going to play. But certainly there are a lot of things that they did offensively that are scheme-related, and the other players haven't necessarily changed. So looking at other players besides the quarterback, they're productive in every game. They move the ball and score points in every game. So there are great opportunities to study the team in those games, too. So, both.
Coach, most of us in this room know you pretty well. I was looking at your schedule for next week. Would you say that the chance to win a Super Bowl is the only thing on this earth that could get you in front of the media and in a mall at the same time?
That's probably a pretty good analysis. Yeah.
Bill, last week you said that Patrick Chung is one of the best players in the league. Would you also consider him one of the most versatile defensive backs in the league? And when did you start to realize that you could use him in so many different roles?
I think he's very versatile. Defensively and in the kicking game. really. He's a lot of skills. I mean, we recognized that when we had him the first time we drafted him, we took a guy in the second round. I mean, it wasn't like, but it just for a combination of reasons. So, you know, a big part of it, mistakes that I personally made. It didn't work out the way that we hoped it would, but we got it right the second time. And I think we've been able to utilize him, you know. I wish we'd been able to do that when we initially got him, but it didn't work out that way. But like I said, I think we finally got it right, so.
Bill, how far in advance does the scouting department start looking at a potential NFC champion or started to look at Philly? I know you mentioned that you're not too familiar with them. So does it start in the regular season? Is it when they clinch the playoffs? Just how does that process kind of work?
Well, first of all, we cover every team. So there isn't a team in the league that isn't covered by the personnel department, the pro personnel department, because in a fairly short amount of time, in a couple months, we'll be into free agency, and there'll be players from every team in free agency. So you can't neglect a team, their roster and their composition, which includes scheme and coaching staff and so forth, because there's a lot of ways that the team comes together. Every team's covered in the league. And then as things narrow down, we know who our opponents are for 16 games. When we get into the playoffs, then we can start to narrow that down at some point, week 14, 15, 16, whatever it is. And then our scouting department puts a little different focus on those teams and probably some of the player people that have those teams during the regular season for eventual free agency, or if a player situation were to come up, say a player was released off another team, like Kenny Britt, for example, when he was released from Cleveland, even though we don't play Cleveland, we still do Cleveland somewhere in the organization. So that, as it narrows down, then we start to look to the teams that potentially we could face. And again, we're not into the NFC for two games, so our first focus is the AFC, and then at some point in that process, as we've already gotten to Jacksonville after they beat, after they got the AFC Championship game, we got the AFC Championship game, then we started to turn to the two NFC teams, and so that's it's kind of progressional.
That is Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at the podium at Gillette Stadium this morning. Zoe will be with us coming up. First, we need to get to the CBS Sports Minute. And the CBS Sports Minute is, of course, a birthday shout-out. There's nothing like a birthday shout-out from Boomer Esiason. This CBS Sports Minute brought to you by DiBella Law Office, and the birthday shout-out is to Neil Diamond.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the midday.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.23 Zolak and Bertrand, final show of the year from CBS Scene, Zo.
It's sad. It's a sad day.
You know what Bill said there to start off the press conference was it's good to be working this week.
Yep. He is in he is in one sort of mood.
Yeah, what is up with that?
I don't know. I think he's got some sleep. I think he's been eating well. I think he's excited to go to the mall next week.
He's going to play in his favorite game.
He's laughing about that. I can't believe he's going to go to the mall.
So there is media availability at the mall.
Everything is going to be held at the mall. They're staying at the mall.
I know. Everything is surrounding the mall. We're near the mall. We're going to be at the mall. We're doing the show from the mall.
Supposedly, because of the weather, everything has to take place inside at the mall, and they're doing this to help the media.
Because I know in years... Okay,
they don't want
so
you to leave the mall.
I know in years past that some media availabilities have been in team hotels.
Correct.
Which is the case this time.
But the team hotel is what, attached to the mall?
Correct. One's on the north end, one's on the south end, I believe.
All you got to do is get on the monorail and go back and forth.
There's a monorail in the mall?
Yep.
There's an amusement park in the mall.
I know there's an amusement park in the mall, but it's so big it needs a monorail?
I think there's a mall within that mall. I think they have like five strip malls within the main mall. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to find
it. It's the mall. Everything's in the mall.
Like, they got a lake in there, and there's a boat.
There's a lake? Lake in the mall. Stop it.
I thought there was a water park in there, too, no?
There's a water park, I heard. Yeah,
there's an amusement park and a water park, I believe.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Damn.
Dude, it's like going to like a Great Wolf Lodge on steroids, basically. That's how big this thing is.
Wow.
Have you looked at the site map?
Water park?
Yeah, I've been trying to find out where we are.
Do you know how much weight we are going to drop walking? Do you know how much walking we are going to do?
That's good.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's good.
Active.
Get moving.
Active. Yeah.
We are going to be
of America.
Our location supposedly is across from the Shake Shack in the shadows of the roller coaster. I was told.
Okay. Not a Shake Shack guy.
Oh my!
Not a Shake Shack guy.
Oh my! There is a water park.
Yeah,
holy smokes!
Bring your bathing suit. There's a water mountain. They have bigger slides.
Water mountain.
They said it's bigger than one of the water parks at Disney.
Unbelievable!
Crazy.
All right, so Bill Belichick is going to have to go to the mall.
Yeah.
There's a question in there.
I think when we get back after 8 days or 9 days or 12 days, however long, Jim's going to be there. you're never going to want to go to the mall again.
Yeah, no, I'm totally aware of that. We're going to spend a lot of money at that stupid mall, aren't we? That's going to happen.
Kind of not bringing anything and just going to buy stuff there.
That's not a terrible idea that Scott Zolak is presenting.
No, but I'm saying if you're, you know.
Pack light.
You know what I'm saying? If you're going. For all the media members that I've been trying to talk about, should I bring extra sweaters, gloves?
You're at the mall. You need something, go buy it.
Maybe I'm just going to bring one jacket, and I might need some sweaters, I'll go grab a couple down at Macy's. Maybe they have a new Mr. Sid there. Who knows?
Hey, we're talking to our Super Bowl ticket expert coming up at 12:20 today, Tony Knopp.
Great. Because I've had a lot of requests from people for it, and I'm just...
I think, believe it or not, you know, we assumed that the fans from here would probably start to...
Yeah.
Fade because you know what, the Patriots are doing this all the time.
Yes,
I think the demand for tickets has been very strong locally here in New England.
I heard it's as good as last year.
I believe
and
it.
We traveled. Well
I totally believe it.
Yeah,
I absolutely believe that. So I think that the demand is going to be there. I know people that went to the game last year that are trying to go again this year, and some people that did go last year and are already set up to go again this year. So I think that we're going to have a good. Strong New England resistance to all the Philly meatheads that show up because you know they're coming in droves, man. They are coming in droves. It is going to be hard to outnumber those idiots because they never go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Last time they were in the Super Bowl, 39. Patriots won that game. But that's going back. What year was that? 05?
Yeah.
So that's 13 years ago.
Oh, what a nightmare that was, too. Jacksonville. Remember we had to do the. You didn't work it.
There's so many.
You were a baby.
In 2005, I was in college.
You were a baby.
In these two games, there are so many similarities. You're going for 3 out of 4, right?
Yeah.
You're going for 3 out of 4 against the Eagles. You're going for 3 out of 4 in a terrible town for a Super Bowl. Right? Yeah. An ill-equipped, terrible town for a Super Bowl.
Now, wait a minute. We beat Jacksonville to go to Minnesota, but Minnesota lost to Philly to go to Minnesota, and we beat Philly in Jacksonville, the other bad city. It's just there's a lot of common back and forth here between the teams, the opponents, and the ultimate sight city of where they're holding the game. Kind of anxious to get out there to just see how bad everything is.
So there's a lot of rankings to be had, and we're going to do some of this week and into next week. And by the way, these are not Mount Rushmore shows, okay?
No, you know
I have a big problem with those.
Sure.
Oh, give me your Mount Rushmore of Patriots players or all-time Eagles. Stop it.
Yeah.
In terms of where the Patriots during their run with Belichick and Brady, some of these rankings come in. Let's start with this. Are the Patriots now... This season, as they go for 3 out of 4. Are they a better team now, or were they a better team the last time they went for 3 out of 4? Because I don't think that's a hard question to answer.
I mean, you have to adjust because the league's different. Rules are different. Your team's built differently then. You couldn't have
I agree. Which team was better? Which team was more talented?
Oh, those back then.
We're talking about, not even close.
Because we already have 5 of those guys in a Patriots Hall of Fame. You're getting you know there's going to be at least 3. I'm putting Bill, Brady, oh, God, Vinatieri, and Ty. So I got 4. We got 4.
Oh, Richard Seymour.
4 Yellow Jackets from them. Richard Seymour, that's 5. That's about it. Harrison, if he gets in, 6. Wow. Yeah.
I don't even care about whether or not they're Hall of Fame status. I'm just talking about how good they were
as a team.
That
supports the point of those guys played together on those teams. You know, a lot of those guys were the key components of those teams. Those what we're going to end up calling a really good defensive
team. That was a far better team than the team they have now.
Well, the defense. The defense in those years were, yeah. That was the beginning of it.
So, offensively, they were better. Now, Tom Brady's probably a better quarterback now than he was then.
With this tight end, it offsets a lot. Like Randy Moss, even that 07 year when they lost, when Randy Moss and this tight end here are on that field, it offsets a lot.
All right, we're going to pick this up on the other side.
Yeah, go back to the Troy Brown. We'll
talk more about this.
Come on.
More about this. More about Brady getting in the game last week today. We've got a lot of items to get to. Burt Breer coming up next hour. Let's get to the headlines with Walk. We will also get to your calls coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
It's back to work today for the Patriots. It's also the beginning of a very long 12 days in preparation for Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis. Bill Belichick's opponent will be a very good Philadelphia Eagles squad.
Obviously, really good football team. Ton of respect for what they do, how they do it. Had to make some adjustments. They've done a great job of that. They have a lot of explosive players. They can score on defense. They score a lot on offense. They're good in the kicking game, so really, really pretty good at everything, which is what you'd expect. That's why they're in this game.
Patriots will not practice today. They'll be back on the field tomorrow. Celtics lost their 4th in a row, 108-107, at the hands of the L.A. Lakers. Kyrie Irving, 33 for the Green. Marcus Smart added 22, but he missed a 3-pointer. His time ran out that would have won it. Celtics play the Clippers at Staples Center tonight. Sean Graney and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 10 and the tip-off at 10:30. Here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, Al Horford last night voted as an All-Star Reserve. Bruins beat New Jersey 3-2 at TD Garden. Brad Marchand, a goal and an assist, but he also has a phone hearing this afternoon to answer for an elbow to the head of the Devils, Marcus Johansson. Bruins visit Ottawa tomorrow night in their final game before the All-Star break. And the Baseball Hall of Fame will announce its class of 2018 tonight. Chipper Jones, Jim Tomey, and Vladimir Guerrero are considered locks for election. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by IBEW Local 103, the power professionals. Power your next project or your career with the trained electricians and technicians of IBEW Local 103. Visit the 103advantage.com. I'm John Wallach at Boston Tone for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hardy's here. He's got your next update in 30 minutes.
Yeah, I'm being told no water park there. That was all a lie, Jim. That was a bad rumor you heard.
You looked up a picture and said, oh, yeah, look at this.
Yeah, I just Googled Water Park Mall of America, and this photo came up of an amazing water park. That's a different mall. That's in Canada. Damn Canadians. Got it all figured out up
there. Canada's not that far away, right?
Yeah, let's make a drive to Canada while we're
there. They all sound the same.
I can't believe that you're even considering that this team might be in the same class as that team in 2004. Not the same class. Not even close.
It's different elements of play of different positions.
Give me a break. Let me give you this offense. Tom Brady and his receivers were Deion Branch, David Givens, David Patton.
I mean, other than Deion Branch, yeah.
That was when David Givens was good. David Givens was a good player with an injury-shortened career.
Kenny Britt with a head.
Still. That's an insult to David Givens that you put in the same class as Kenny Britt.
David Givens was a strong, big receiver. I agree. But I'm saying he had Britt's build and ability, but was a smart player.
Sam Amendola. Didn't do it in the regular season. Did it in the postseason.
Wait a minute. How tall is Kenny Britt?
6'3".
Is that it?
Yeah,
6'3". David Givens was 6 feet even, and I doubt he was even that.
He played bigger.
Yeah. David Givens was a good player for this team. His final two seasons here, he had 56 and 59 catches.
Deion was perfect for what they did.
Brady, Branch, Givens, Patton.
How's your tight ends?
Okay, tight ends were your good friend Christian Fourier and Daniel Graham.
But Christian at that time was a damn good blocking tight end. Like, they used a lot of those combos. Christian was a really good blocker.
Fourier and Graham, those guys don't suck. Those aren't slouches. Daniel Graham never lived up to really what he was supposed to be, but he won the Mackey. Daniel Graham won the Mackey at Colorado.
Might have, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
He was really good.
That's when they drafted him and Ben Watson back to back years, first rounds. Yeah. Remember
was what led to that famous Felger rant about he won't do it with the tight ends.
Gronkowski
won't do it.
That's right.
Hernandez won't do it.
That's
that one.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
Remember that whole deal?
Well, they had that foresight to build the offense around a two tight end type double headed monster, and that's what ultimately led to Hernandez and Gronk.
All right. So let me put it this way then. So receiver wise.
Yeah.
Not tight end wise, because tight end we know. You're taking Rob Gronkowski over anything that team had. Which group of receivers would you take?
If Edelman was healthy, I'd take
this. This is a hard one.
If Edelman's healthy, I'd take this.
Well, Edelman's not here. He's been here all year.
But when you build
I'm talking about the 2017. But he's not.
They built this team.
You're not going to play the game with Edelman, so it's not worth talking about.
So Brandon Cooks, Amendola, Hogan.
Yes, he's in the group.
Hogan's a guy that could have the game of his life next week.
So there it is. Amendola.
Like Amendola had his the other
Amendola,
day.
Amendola, Hogan, and Cooks, or
Hogan had big catches in that
Branch
Super
Givens
Bowl
Patton
last year. With Gronkowski as a tight end, I take this group. I'm not even thinking about it.
Again, we're not talking about the tight end. We know who you take at tight end. That's a no-brainer.
Well, Tom said that Daniel Graham won the Mackey in 2001, and Dwayne Allen won the Mackey in 2011.
Oh, please.
Two guys in net. Well, Dwayne Allen had some.
That's the role. That's the role he's in, though. That's the role Allen's in. That blocking role.
You're right.
Decent weeks in Indianapolis, but the point stands. He was awesome in college. Didn't live up to what we thought he might be here. Branch, Givens, Patton, or Cooks, Hogan, Amendola. All right, so let's identify the top two guys in each group then. For this team. You're going to give it to Amendola for this team?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would. If you had to take Cooks or Amendola in a game tomorrow, you could only have one. Who are you taking? Taking Amendola. Maybe doesn't have the same natural talent as a guy like Cooks or natural athleticism that Cooks has. I mean, Cooks can fly, but he doesn't bring it the way Danny Amendola does. So you'd put Amendola at the top of this list and Deion Branch at the top of that list. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay?
Yeah.
Who are you taking out of the two? You can have one or the other.
Branch.
I'm taking Branch, too. So I got Branch. Then it gets harder. Because after that, you've got Givens and you've got Cooks. Givens or Cooks?
Cooks.
Give me Givens based on what he did as a New England Patriot in some really big games in the playoffs.
Well, now, see, if we could do that and you could base it on production, then I'm going to be taking Hogan.
I'm basing it on you got to play a Super Bowl with these guys. And then you get to the third one, and Hogan. I take Hogan over David Patton.
Yeah.
Dave Patton was okay, but I would take Chris Hogan. Patton could run a better route, but.
So basically what we're doing here is how many Patriots on this team would start on the 0-4 team?
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much that's what we're doing. You were better on defense, and that's not even a question. I mean, defensively. It's not even close. Here are your starters. Seymour, Warren.
Here's your thing.
Brewski, Johnson, McGinnis, Vrabel, Rodney Harrison, Eugene Wilson, which is, bit of an issue there.
Ty Law
was hurt, though, at the end.
Well, the corners is an interesting one.
Randall Daniels on that team.
Randall Blue Gay, right?
But both corners would probably start. Both of these corners would probably start.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
And at least one safety.
McCourty would start. McCourty and your two corners.
Three out of four secondary players would start.
McCourty and your two corners would start. Absolutely. Yes.
Over Rodney Harrison?
No.
So Harrison's the one guy you're
Harrison
starting.
Harrison and McCourty.
Okay. Yeah. Those are your two safeties.
I can't believe we're doing this.
And your corners are who?
Butler and Gilmore.
Was Asante not that good by then?
Second year.
Second year? What kind of year did he have that year?
He was basically a cover guy at that point. He wouldn't hit. Remember, he dealt with shoulder injuries and all that? Yeah.
But overall, which defense you taking? You're taking that one from 04. It's not even close. Yeah. That team was so ridiculous. Remember how good that team was?
They won too many games in a row. They didn't lose at the end of the season. It was going to cost them.
03.
Never cost them, did it?
03 and 04. Those back-to-back years are the two best Patriots Super Bowl champion teams. I thought Jim was in deep thought. You're in deep thought, too.
I'm thinking, too.
Those are their two best teams that they put on the field that won it all.
I'll give you 04. 03 wasn't.
You're not giving 03 enough credit.
03 was the Houston year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those two teams, defensively, so tough.
03 was probably better because you had Ty.
Yeah, healthy, playing.
Yeah. Well,
you didn't have Corey Dillon on offense, though.
So?
Yeah. I mean, they got better in 04. They were a better team in 04.
They're more balanced. Yeah. They balanced your offense. 03 had more bearing on Brady and, like, Troy Brown. Yeah. Didn't Daniel Graham catch one in 03 and, like, drop the ball down the field?
You still had Antoine Smith back in 03.
He was a big up-and-down street runner. Man.
617-779-0985.
I want to get some listeners.
We'll get to the calls next. How about we do that CBS scene, so hang tight.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We'll talk to Kurt Freer coming up at 11 a.m. from Mobile, Alabama, where the Senior Bowl is happening this week. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Rod, who's in Halifax. Got a thought on Troy Brown. Hey, Rod.
Yeah, how are you doing, guys?
Yep. Good, Rod. How you doing?
Hey, great program, Zoe. Just going to congratulate you for the great coverage, by the way, before the game on Sunday. I really enjoyed how you were there, man. And just saying, he's zipping it, guys. He's zipping it. He's ready. Tom Brady's ready.
So you liked having the on-the-field live mic and just to kind of add that other element to the pregame as we take notes here. Nice.
No, I love it. And also, I really enjoy Drew Bledsoe giving you a really hard time, though, about credit card, right? Payments of paying the
offensive. That's true. I like this. Absolutely. This is good recall from pregame.
Hey, if we didn't have a live mic, we don't get Bledsoe on live.
Right.
There,
that was fun.
That was good.
Hi, Drew.
Really good stuff. But, guys, I really want to mention, I love the comparison of the 2003 team, well, 2005 team, I guess, and the one, but I think you're missing, and I know, Zolak, you're a huge fan of Troy Brown. You know, you had Brown, you had Branch, you had Gibbon.
Yeah, I played with Troy for 5 years, yeah.
Right? Am I correct? I mean, isn't Troy Brown the equivalent of an Amendola? Correct? I mean, the same number?
Yeah, he was the original Amendola. Troy Brown allowed Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, and Danny Amendola to have the ability to advance the offense to where now, you know, it's not just going to be a two wide receiver league. We're going to run guys out of the slot. Dan Henning and Charlie Weiss had this vision. Dan Henning was the architect. He advanced the Ron Earhart offense to incorporate that one back, single back set, and it was always predominant with two tight ends and two wide. Troy Brown was the originator of the slot position. That guy was gritting balls.
He was hurt in 04.
Yeah.
No, he was played defense in 04.
Didn't he?
Yep.
He had three picks. Did you take Troy Brown or Eric Rowe? That's the comparison you're looking for, Troy Brown, that season.
Oh, man. That's brutal. But he didn't play in every game in 04, though, did he?
He played 12 games. He had three interceptions, 17 catches.
Wow.
Three interceptions.
Guy did everything.
14 tackles.
Did absolutely everything.
And what was it? How about in 06 when he knocks the ball out in San Diego, like on offense? He's actually an offensive guy playing defense.
Sean in Boston has a thought on Minnesota. Hey, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, Sean, you there?
Go.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, I'm actually a representative of the Shake Shack organization, and I agree with 90% of the things you say, but so, come on, you're breaking my heart.
About what?
You don't like Shake Shack? You guys have the prime spot at the Mall of America. You're going to be right by the Shake Shack.
Wait, you represent the Shake Shack? Is that what you're saying?
I work for Shake Shack. I do, yeah.
Send over a couple samples next week.
Do you understand?
Maybe you can change those opinions.
You do understand that I've had to back off the milkshakes and the burgers because of Awaken 180.
Dude, you look great. I see you on TV.
Thank you, because I don't pound those. My kids love Shake Shack.
We all got cheat days.
My kid, who drives now, goes with her friends to Legacy Place to go to Shake Shack.
Ah, man, that's a good spot. Anyway, yeah,
so I do support Shake Shack.
I really want to make sure that you guys have a great experience at the Mall of America. I know you're going to have a great time.
Awesome.
Have you ever been there?
I haven't been there myself, but...
How do you know we're going to have a good time?
How do you know?
I need people. Here's what I want.
I want to talk about Mall of America.
No.
No, you don't. You want to talk about Shake Shack.
I want people that have been to Minnesota, that have gone to this mall,
yeah, they
to tell
us
me what
something
I'm in
interesting.
For. I don't need to read brochures. Brochures don't do anything for me. I don't want to go to some cave or caverns up in the mountains.
Want first-hand experience.
Yes. I want people that did it, that know it.
Everybody's heard of this place. Everyone's heard of Mall of America.
Everybody that I've talked to that actually went to Minnesota have been told to avoid Mall of America.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, my buddy that found out where we were going, he said that's awesome. You're going to Minnesota. He's like, just don't even bother with the Mall of America. It's not worth it.
Great.
You're going to be there for 8 days.
Well, we'll be there every day.
Every day,
single day, we'll be there. Angelo in New Hampshire. Hi, Angelo.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Let me put this meeting on a little lower.
Oh, sure. Just turn
it off. So, I wanted to call you from maybe talk a little Philadelphia perspective. I've been in New Hampshire for a little over 2 years now. I relocated from Philly, from the suburbs of Philly, and... you know, obviously, this is a huge game for us. We don't make it to the big dance as many times as New England does or any Boston teams ever do. So I travel down there every week. I just happen to be here this week for the next several weeks because of other purposes. But it is huge down there, and I just want to hear what your take is on what you think. How you think it's going to. The game's gonna transpire, and
Patriots by 500 points. All right, 400. It's gonna be a tight game.
I think, based on what we looked at a little bit down underneath, Minnesota didn't have the best blocking schemes. Patriots are not gonna go in with a game plan that Minnesota went into Philadelphia with. I think Minnesota was in over their head. Once you actually know the game of football and you could talk to football people to how they break it down and look at it, I think people feel Minnesota was lucky to be in Philly for the game just to even kick off.
So we had a call, I think, yesterday where someone said, finally we'll have a chance to maybe see the Patriots, I think it might have been Monday, have a game in a Super Bowl where they don't have to go down to the wire.
Be nice.
Because every single one of them has gone down to the wire.
Jimmy Stewart put this tweet out.
Here's what I don't understand.
Blow them out.
Why would anybody assume or predict that this one would not go in that same way? Especially given what we're talking about here, which is this is not Bill Belichick's most talented group going into a Super Bowl. Far from it.
I understand that. I mean, Carson Wentz was your league MVP when he went down. The backup shouldn't be able to take the team to the Super Bowl. And that's kind of what's happened there. Maybe the team in the NFC is not as good as we thought it was potentially going to be 2 months ago. I just think the experience of it, the week,
yeah,
that you look at them in the post-game celebration. They're dancing with Jeffrey Lurie. Oh, hey, they should have time. They're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Have fun. I remember 96, 97, we went nuts. We had fun. They're part of the element is happy to be there.
And then you lost.
And then you see Bill. Yeah. Then you see Bill
and
this crew here.
Hey, straight to the end zone.
Yeah.
And you lost.
And then you see this crew here. But like at that time, they got Reggie White, and they were already trending to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They knew they were
going to
win. Hey,
listen, I'm not saying don't have fun. I'm just saying that the Patriots are going to be better equipped to do the week than they are.
Patriots are ready. Right. Patriots are more ready going into this week than the other teams.
Organizationally
speaking, this is not Seattle you're facing.
Organizationally speaking, the Patriots will pick it up and
huge
move
advantage.
It to Minnesota better than anybody.
Huge advantage.
because they've had their people. They had their people on the ground
last month,
months ago.
Yeah.
Now, they don't want you to know that.
Right.
But their people were in Minnesota scouting right. everything
and they had to do
months
that.
Ago.
And they had to do that because the Patriots are the home team. So you had to make provisions. Not only did you have to scout the Minnesota site, you had to scout two separate sites. So you had to do double the normal work for a Super Bowl.
You also had to be worried about Minnesota being there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
How much you want to bet Burke does not call us on time today?
Oh, we're calling him. I talked to him this morning. He was on his morning run. Said 11 o'clock's
good. He's a runner. Dude loves to run. Quickly, though, we'll talk to Josh in Rhode Island. He's got some Mall of America thoughts.
Oh, what's he got?
Oh, what's up, Zo?
What's up?
What up, Beetle?
Hey, what's going on?
Man, overrated. I went there when I was 18 with my parents. I had quote-unquote family friend uncle who lived down in Shakopee, Minnesota. We went to the Mall of America. Dude, waste of time. So big. What are you going to go in there for? All right. Well, you'll see when you get there. I can't wait to hear you guys next week over there because it's so big. Well, it's just like if you want to go to a Dick's or a JCPenney or a K's, you'll just go to a strip somewhere else that's not in the mall. It's unbelievable. But one thing that was cool that I was told was that the security over there, I don't know about for the Super Bowl, but everyday security there, these guys are like Israeli-trained behavior specialists. Dude, it's pretty crazy. But
so it's really? Like, so the Mall of America, without the Super Bowl there, has special forces as... That's security. That's basically what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying basically, if you've ever seen Ray Donovan, it's basically Avi. It's Avi is the security guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm just confused because I thought it was going to be like Paul Blart. I thought there were going to be a bunch of guys on Segways riding around, overweight mall cops. You know,
shoplifting Ray.
These aren't your average Minnesota rent-a-cops. When anybody wants to really convince you that things are serious, they just say something along the lines of Israeli and either security or special forces, and you're like, okay, all right, I'm paying attention.
Delta forces.
Right. You said Israeli and secure, and now you got my attention. I'm listening. What? Yes?
Avi's gotten real weird with the heroin habit, though, you know? Really went down a weird path.
Well... He's in a bad place.
Yeah, he's in a bad spot. 617-779-0985. You're on the line. Hang tight. We'll talk to Bert Breer. Want to get caught up on a couple of items. He's in Mobile, Alabama, where the rest of the league's head coaches are. Not named Doug Peterson or Bill Belichick. Ooh. Getting ready to draft some players coming out of college. We'll talk to Bert in 90 seconds.